It's not an easy portion to read and to listen to. And unless you've actually seen Zara art, it's not very nice to look at either. And when you suffer Zara art, you suffer a lot of pain. And for that reason, I want to speak on pain today. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. We pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah. And that you'll allow what you've given me to come forth, be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I give you the glory for every word. Because each word has come from you. In Yeshua's name, amen. I've actually titled my message, The Gift of Pain. Come on, you're going to tell me there's no gift in pain. Believe me, I believe there is. This week's Torah portion begins with a section regarding the purification regulations of childbirth. Childbirth is a gift. It's full of pain. This is followed by a lengthy section on infectious skin conditions. And there are similarities and dissimilarities between these two sections. What these two sections have in common is that special attention was given to the conditions of both, and certain rituals had to be observed for the conditions to be resolved. The state of being unclean in each case placed the person in a special relationship to the things of Yehovah and to the community in which they lived. And this was designed to protect the community and the individual during their time of ritual uncleanness. However, the postpartum mother did not pose a risk to the community in the way that those contracting the infectious skin disease, or Zara'at, did. It was determined that a person truly had an infectious skin condition, they had to be placed in isolation. There was no such requirements for the specified time period following childbirth. The mother was never in isolation. While both the postpartum mother and the person with the skin condition were to be regarded as unclean, whatever unclean meant, childbirth is not a disease. As I said, I do admit it's painful, and for that reason I want to discuss the various forms of pain that we all suffer, and some are still suffering at the moment. So I'm going to take it from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16 from our reading. And it says, when Yeshua was in one of the towns, there came a man completely covered with Zara'at. On seeing Yeshua, he fell on his face and begged him, "Sir, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Yeshua reached out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the Zara'at left him. Then Yeshua warned him not to tell anyone. Instead, as a testimony, go to the people, go straight to the Kohen, and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moshe commanded. But the news about Yeshua kept spreading all the more, so that the huge crowds would gather to listen and be healed of their sicknesses. However, Yeshua made a practice of withdrawing to remote places in order to pray. Now, there is more than one kind of pain. There is general pain. First of all, some of you would beg to differ with me that pain is really a gift. We live in a world that makes Excedrin for headaches, Tylenol, PM for relief for night aches and that inhibit sleep, Panadine Forte that for the big headache, and our society refuses to live in pain. There is Darvocet, Dalamane, Delmaril, Dilaudid, and a host of other D's to knock out pain. Codeine, Mecobin, morphine, Versed, and I could go on and on, depending on the depth of your pain. One's tolerance to pain also differs from one person to another. what can be excruciating pain to one person, like an 11, like a level 11, when pain only goes to 10, when it's measured, to just an annoyance, which is a 2 or a 3. All painkillers have a common purpose, and that is to eradicate the pain that we live with. I'm sure that there are many more that I could have mentioned. Pain medications themselves can be taken by mouth, intramuscularly, intravenously, intrathecally, subcutaneously, and a host of other routes. Medical science has spent much time to research on how to eliminate pain. So for one to attempt to say that pain is a gift might be a bit confusing to you. But allow me to really look at the purpose of pain and find out how it can actually help us. I will often have pain, which tells me how to pray for people, as I physically feel other people's pain. I don't take painkillers or anything for it. I just know when the pain comes, where it is that I have to pray for. The most excruciating pain I ever prayed for was when my nephew's wife in her early 40s had a cerebral hemorrhage and she was in intensive care for 3 weeks. The whole time I had a pain in the side of my head. I believed Yah allowed me to have this pain so I could pray for her and lay hands on my head in that place as if I was laying hands on her whenever I was praying for her, because she really needed healing. She was in a coma for that time, and I was believing that she would come out with no permanent damage. Well, when the doctors removed her from life support, there was still no sign of recovering. It is now 6 years later, and she is in a special disability home, as it became impossible for her husband to look after her, go to work, look after his daughter and have any kind of life. And this only happened just recently that he put her in a home, in the disability home. She'd got to a stage where she no longer recognised him. It is so sad that our prayers are not answered. But the pain he has been through and the family has been through over the 6 years has differed to what the husband went through, to the brother went through, to the in-laws went through. All our pain was different. Some of us had pain for him more than we had pain for her, because she wasn't feeling her pain. But he was, and he still is, suffering. Yah's ways aren't our ways. And even though we don't always get answers to pain, we have to accept the answer or the non-answer to our prayers. And we have to learn to live with it. This nephew of mine is a lifesaver, and he still goes and does his duty of lifesaving every week. I'm going to give you a few quotes concerning pain. One is from Shakespeare, and he said that he who jests at scars never felt a wound. Marcel Proust said, "Illness is the doctor to whom we pay most heed. To kindness, to knowledge, we make promises only, but to pain we obey." William Faulkner said, If we are to choose between pain and nothing, I would choose pain. And John Milton, the author of Paradise Lost, said, "The mind in its own place and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven." So let us look at the miracle of Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16 from our reading, with the disease of leprosy, or Zara Art. Sahara art is insidious from its beginning. It starts as just a mere spot, slightly tender to the touch, but with some time would change. Small specks would begin on the eyelids, on the palms of the hands, and gradually spread to cover the entire body. The hair would bleach white, crusty scales would soon develop the expected spots. The joints would begin to swell, and the swelling would gradually erupt into sores. The small nodules would soon deteriorate and leave a foul discharge. From the surface, Zara art would eat its way to the inner tissues. Skipping nothing, it would venture into the fatty tissues, working on through the muscle and finally devastate the bones. The nerve tissue was such that it no longer had the ability to sense the pain stimulus. Therefore, because of the lack or absence of pain, the person with Zara art would find that fingers, toes and even limbs would endure a horrible trauma without being able to feel it. So if you've seen people with leprosy with half a finger or great big gash out of their arm, it's because they never felt it when they chopped it off. They literally don't feel it because they've lost the feel of pain. Without the feeling, the leper would extend his injuries, never realising the damage that was occurred. The lungs, the eyes, the nose, the throat were not left immune to this horrible disease. They too had to endure the debilitations of the disease. Now, Minister Maliki and myself have prayed with for many lepers during our missionary work in India. I will admit, I do not ever recall seeing a leper completely healed with no sign of the leprosy being evident. While we did see evidence of the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, and the mute speaking. But we saw many people that were healed of Zara art. And their hands, although they were black, were like had blotches of white because the pigments had completely gone where the Zara art had been. The dread of infection kept men aloof from the sufferer because that was what the Torah prescribed. The Torah states the leper is unclean. Because of this unclean state, the leper would not live in the walled cities with others. They had to live beyond the reaches of men, beyond the reaches of compassion, beyond the reaches of joy, beyond the reaches of love, but worst of all, living without the gift of pain. Pain can serve a definite purpose in our lives. Zara art patients lose their fingers and toes, as I said, not because the disease causes the decay, but because they cannot feel the pain when they cut them off. Nothing warns them that water is too hot or a hammer handle is splintered. Accidental abuse is what destroys the leper or the person with Zara art. Now, we have no way of knowing what state this person in Luke was in when Yeshua healed him. He could have been in the very early stages of the disease, or he could have been in the final stages. Regardless of what the stage was, he needed help. On seeing Yeshua, he fell on his face and begged him, "Sir, if you are willing, make me clean." He came to Yeshua, the man from Galilee, hoping for a miracle. He came in faith that Yeshua would heal him. No doubt, this man with Zara art also had areas of his body that the nerve endings had been compromised, and he no longer felt pain that it could have saved him from further injury. And I know that speaking today, I'm speaking to people who live with pain. People online, people in this room live with pain. And I said there's many types of pain. It doesn't naturally mean that it's pain from a disease. At times it can feel as though it is unbearable and Yah does not hear our cry for relief. Or maybe time has passed and you've been able to scar it over and learned to live with it, as we're told to live with COVID at the moment. So maybe it does not hurt as bad as it used to, but it's still there. Zaraat still tugs at the souls of men today. By the way, Yehovah is still looking for people with Zaraat today, especially spiritual Zaraat. He is still looking for that commitment. He is still longing to make something out of our lives. He will take the pain and turn it into something that will cause you to help others who are battling the same situation in your life that you are suffering or have suffered. You might wonder why I read a psalm every day. I love the psalms because they teach us life. They teach us how to live with life. It was through a psalm that I came to salvation. And without my psalms every day, I would not to survive. But this week, Yah gave me Psalm 91. And he's allowed me to share it with a few people as well. But I'm going to share it with you today. In Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, it says, "You who live in the shelter of El Elyon, who spend your nights in the shadow of Shaddai, who say to Yehovah, my refuge, my fortress, my Elohim, in whom I trust." What is it that makes us value the secret place so much? I find it was during the greatest difficulties in my life, they were the times that I found that secret place, to be the sweetest place. And this is where I found the pain was really a gift. I have suffered intense physical and emotional pain most of my life. It was that pain and that aloneness that allowed me to seek Yehovah at a young age. And I came to trust in him in 1951. I actually had a saying that said, "Me, myself, and Yah get along very well, thank you. I don't need anybody else." I was at a stage of suffering human rejection for decades. I could not trust any human, and I lived my life completely dependent on Yah. I was different from the rest of my siblings, and I was never accepted by them, and I'm still not accepted by them to this very day. I have learned to live with it, but that does not mean the pain goes away. One cannot be what someone else believes they should be. Each of us has to be true to ourselves and true to how Yehovah created us to be, no matter what our deficiencies might be. The only mold that we should fit into is the one that Yah created for us as an individual. We shouldn't have to fit into the mold of our siblings or the mold of our ancestors or the mold of somebody else because they think that's the way we should be. There are particular things that we live with that remarkably have the ability to intensify our pain. There is not a single drug or man-made remedy that can relieve these elements that intensify the pain. The only hope of relief is a trip to Golgotha. That stake can heal. Yeshua can heal. Yah's word can heal. We need to seek him, whether our pain is physical, emotional, or even spiritual. I praise Yah, I'd sought him as a young person, because even at high school I would spend it alone, just reading his word every lunch break. I never start my day without getting into his word. First thing Malachi does is get me a cup of coffee so I can do it. I am blessed to have him. any man who knew the Torah knew that the person was Zara At would be dealt with harshly. Vayikra Leviticus chapter 12 and 13, which we read today, provide the entire process that the person of Zara At had to be submitted to. There was a presentation to the Kohen. The Kohen would examine the suspected person and then come away with clean or unclean description. Should the suspect find themselves unclean, they would have to depart from the city and go to what was known as the leper colony or the Zara At colony. The intensity of pain would soon escalate because the elements surrounding him. This is why this person who spoke to Yeshua and asked him to be cleansed must have been suffering intense pain for him to leave that colony to find Yeshua in the first place. Now, fear was one of the first things that a person would have to deal with when they were told they had Zara At. Fear would then bring a branch, would then branch off into a myriad of emotions. Fear of dying, fear of the inability to provide for and to see one's family, fear of rejection of society, fear of rejection by Yehovah, fear of the isolation associated with the disease. I don't know what your story is, but I can tell you that every person has one. When fear comes into your life, it is the same as Zara At in the way it begins to eat away at your soul. That is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Can Yah really forgive this sin? Is he going to extend his love to me? Who else made this mistake? Can Yah still save me? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? The more you thought about your problem, the greater the pain. Fear has a way of immobilizing our faith. That is what the adversary or Hasatan would like for you to believe right now. Fear has a way of causing our imagination to run away like an out-of-control truck. Fear says, you've really done it now. Yah will never be able to retrieve you from this mess. But let me assure you, nothing is impossible with Yah. I believe David, King David, is a very good example. And once again, Tehillim Psalms in chapter 27 and verse 1 to 5. It says, this is by David, Yehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom do I need to fear? Yehovah is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? When evildoers assailed me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they stumbled and fell. If an army encamps against me, my heart will not fear. If war breaks out against me, even then I will keep trusting. Just one thing I have asked of Yehovah, only this will I seek, to live in the house of Yehovah all the days of my life, to see the beauty of Yehovah and visit in his temple. For he will conceal me in the shelter on the day of trouble. He will hide me in the folds of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. So after fear comes anger. Anger raises its ugly head in many ways. It's another way to bolster the pain. In Luke was a man who was involved in everyday living, now stricken with a horrible disease, which made him an outcast. Anger at the system at once he lived, now sensibly was betraying him. Maybe some of us are feeling that anger now because of how we are living and how we are being forced to live and how we are no longer allowed to work and do our job because of what the government is pushing forward. How could it be? This man had participated in Yom Kippur, the annual holy day, the Day of Atonement. He before felt the relief of the sins being rolled back another year as the smoke ascended from the tabernacle. He'd been awed by the actions of Moshe as they walked through the wilderness, getting water in dry places, manna in barren areas, miracle after miracle. He had witnessed. But now the Torah said that he had to go into the leper's colony. He was probably feeling anger towards the situation, anger towards the people, and maybe even anger towards Yah for making such a rule. There are many who live with anger today because of the autocrats that control whether people can work or not, or because of a medical procedure, which is certainly not what is advocated, that is to be safe, effective and beneficial. Even though this week the government is paying for funeral expenses if one can prove the death is caused by the procedure. And they've said that also for now that they want to roll out for the under fives. They will pay for any damage that is done, the government has said. And yet they're saying it is safe and effective. It's certainly not beneficial. Years have now passed, the wounds do not hurt as bad, but they are still there. Could it be that Yah would like to wash some things out of our hearts today? So maybe you are suffering from some guilt. As this man with Zara'at went on through the process, he began to feel the weight of guilt settling down on his soul. He now felt like it was his fault that this ugly disease of Zara'at had preyed on his body. Thoughts start up in his mind. If only I hadn't, if only I had, if. Once again, King David comes to the rescue as he encompasses the entire feeling of the moment in Tehillim's Psalms 38, verses 4 to 10. For it says, "For my iniquities loom high over my head as a heavy burden, too heavy for me. I have stinking, festering wounds because of my foolishness. I am bent down, prostrate completely. I go about mourning all day, for my insides burn with fever and my whole body is sick. I am numb, completely crushed. My anguished heart makes me groan aloud. Yehovah, all my longing is known to you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart is throbbing. My strength is gone, and the light in my eyes has left me." Guilt is an intensifier of pain. Yet if the pain was not in the soul, there are people sitting here or listening right now who would not be here if their pain was not in the soul. Pain is a physical component of the body. While the soul is separate from the body, the soul and the body are two different things. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body that we live in is just like a tent that we carry around on this earth. It stays here. It's the part that goes dust to dust. But the soul and the spirit is what lives on eternally. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. You cannot physically feel those things. You can't feel your emotions. You can sense them, but you can't feel them. You can't physically feel them because they are in the mind. It's what comes from the mind. Guilt can be made into a positive thing, and this is what brings the gift of pain. Guilt can serve a leper well because he can repent knowing that the pain is deserved, and then Yah can start the healing process. Now the person with Zara'at will also suffer loneliness. Perhaps one of the greatest intensifiers of the leper's pain is loneliness that he has to bear. Loneliness is not something we feel as a physical pain. It's an emotional pain. It comes from our soul. Leprosy or Zara'at is a disease that will isolate a person from his or her surroundings, from their family, and finally from Yah. The people in the colony were put there by obedience to Torah scriptures. They were isolated from society and yet isolated from each other. They could not find any hope in their surroundings, and their loneliness only intensified their pain. One of the loneliest times that men have is not when they have been left alone by their co-workers, by their friends, or even by their families, but when they have been left alone by Elohim. I have experienced situations in my life where I've been at family occasions, 30, 40 people, and still felt completely isolated or alone. Maybe it was because I was the only one that was saved at that time, and nobody else in the family was. I didn't bring my parents into the kingdom until 1985. Eov, or Job, said it best concerning the most difficult kind of loneliness. In Eov, Job 28:23-9. He said, "If I head east, he isn't there. If I head west, I don't detect him. If I turn north, I don't spot him. In the south, he is veiled. I still don't see him." It's nothing worse than seeking Yah and not being able to find him. To me, that is the most hardest of pain. So I want to now look at Uzziyahu's Zara'at. Uzziyahu was Yehuda's 10th king. Uzziyahu began his rule when he was only 16 years of age. He built towers in Jerusalem and in the deserts. He was a great military leader, but he was stricken with Zara'at. And it comes from 2 Chronicles 26, verses 18 and 19. And it says, "They stood up to Uzziyahu, the king, and they told him, 'Isn't it your job, Uzziyahu, to burn incense to Yehovah? The job of burning incense belongs to the Kohanim, the descendants of Aharon.'" Oh, sorry, "It isn't your job, Uzziyahu, to burn incense to Yehovah. The job of burning incense belongs to the Kohanim, the descendants of Aharon, who have been consecrated. Get out of the sanctuary. You have trespassed, and Yehovah Elohim will not honor you for this." This made Uzziyahu angry as he stood there with a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense. And in his anger at the Kohanim, Zara'at broke out on his forehead, right in front of the Kohanim in the house of Yehovah, beside the altar of incense. And further down in Chronicles 26, verse 21, 2 Chronicles, Uzziyahu the king had Zara'at until his dying day. He lived in a separate house because he had Zara'at. He was not allowed into the house of Yehovah. Meanwhile, Yotam, the king's son, ran the king's household and was regent over the people of the land. Yotam, Uzziyahu's son, would have inherited the throne from Uzziyahu. Uzziyahu received his leprosy from inside the temple, or the tabernacle. It was a bad turn of events. It was poor judgment on his part. But he intruded into the office of the Kohanim and attempted to burn incense on the altar, therefore had to pay the penalty of his son. His son then had to take on the responsibility of leadership far before his time. Obviously, Uzziyahu didn't learn the lesson that we learnt last week and Sean shared with us with a dove and Avihu, Aharon's sons. They did the same thing but were instantly killed. Uzziyahu wasn't instantly killed, but he suffered a slow death as Zara'at ate away at his body. It's hard to believe that such an event could happen, that one could get leprosy, or Zara'at, a dreaded dirty disease in the holy place. But it did happen. The scriptures say it did. In fact, it happened in 810 before this current era. But it could have happened in 810 AD if the temple was still alive, it's still in place. Or it could have happened in 1810 or 1910 or maybe even in 2010. I think in 2020 we really felt it when COVID came. Leprosy still invades our body when we handle holy things. What's your story? Because everybody has one. Let me finish with this. As we look inward to our own lives, where is Zara at? Is it at the beginning stages, or has it almost devastated the inside? The thing about the miracle in Luke 5 is the fact that no one was supposed to touch a leper. They were unclean. But Yeshua reached out and touched his hand. The clean touched the unclean. The clean healed the unclean. That is the way that it was with Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, no matter how ugly the wound of Zara'at or sin may be in our lives, Yeshua's blood still has the ability to wash it all away. Allow me to let you in on something else. I was glad that you came today. I am glad that you came today. I am glad that you are hurting. I'm glad that you are struggling with loneliness, with guilt, with anger, with fear. Because you can leave that pain here as you walk out the door, because Yeshua has already borne it for you. In Yeshayahu Isaiah 53 verses 1 to 11, it says, "Who believes our report? To whom is the arm of Yehovah revealed? For before him he grew up like a young plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He was not well formed or especially handsome. We saw him, but his appearance did not attract us. People despised him and avoided him, a man of pains, well acquainted with illness. Like someone from whom people turn their faces, he was despised. We did not value him. In fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered. Yet we regarded him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by Elohim. But he was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed. We all like sheep went astray. We turned each one to his own way. Yet Yehovah laid on him the guilt of us all. Though mistreated, he was submissive. He did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to be slaughtered, like a sheep silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. After forcible arrest and sentencing, he was taken away, and none of his generation protested his being cut off from the land of the living for the crimes of my people who deserved the punishment themselves. He was given a grave among the wicked. In his death, he was a rich man. Although he had done no violence and he said nothing deceptive, yet it pleased Jehovah to crush him with illness, to see if he would present himself as a guilt offering. If he does, he will see his offspring and he will prolong his days, and at his hand Jehovah's desires will be accomplished. After this ordeal, he will see satisfaction. By his knowing pain and sacrifice, my righteous servant makes many righteous. It is for their sins that he suffers." I don't know about you, but when I read this psalm, I see nothing but Yeshua. Oh, I see this, as Yeshayahu 53. I see nothing but Yeshua. Yeshua laid down his life so all pain, guilt, anger, and loneliness can be taken from each and every one of us. Many people do not see these as diseases because they are not diagnosable illnesses. Yet they are not any different from a diagnosable disease because they bring dis-ease or lack of ease into our lives, which turning to Yeshua for forgiveness can eradicate them better than any painkiller or medication that a doctor can prescribe. To ease the pain, the anger, the guilt, or the loneliness from our lives, all we need to do is trust in Yehovah and turn to Yeshua. Before we have our remembrance service, I want to have some quiet time where all who need to can pray by admitting and confessing their symptoms and cause them pain to Yehovah and asking him to take them from us. And I want to look at the remainder of Tehillim 91 so that we can claim Yehovah's promises for us. As I said, I committed my life to Yeshua through Tehillim 40 back in 1951. And I read these Tehillim every day along with the Proverbs, a proverb for each day of the month, because they are the stepping stones for the gifts of life. They are the stepping stones to help us understand what Yeshua has done and how we can activate what he has done into our lives. And they show us where we're wrong and how we can overcome where others who are mistreating us are wrong. So let us take this little moment to just spend some time with Yah, and then I'll read Tehillim 91 to you. Psalm 91, and I personalise the psalms, so I'm going to read it in my personalised way. You can read it from there if you like, or from the scriptures if you like, because I find praying the psalms and personalising them makes them it easier for me to know that Yehovah hears me, because I feel as if I'm speaking to him personally. I who live in the shelter of Elyon, who spend my nights in the shadow of Shaddai, who say to Yehovah, my refuge, my fortress, my Elohim, in whom I trust. You, Yehovah, will rescue me from the trap of the hunter and from the plague of calamities. You will cover me with your pinions, and under your wings I will find refuge. Your truths are a shield and a protection. I will not fear the terrors of night, or the arrows that fly by day, or the plague that roams in the dark, or the scourge that wreaks havoc at noon. A thousand may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it won't come near me. Only I will keep my eyes open, and I will see how the wicked are punished. For I have been made by Yehovah the Most High, who is my refuge and my dwelling place. No disaster will happen to me, no calamity will come near my tent. For Yehovah has ordered his angels to care over me and guard me wherever I go. They will carry me in their hands so that I will not trip over a stone. I will tread down lions and snakes, young lions and serpents I will trample underfoot. Because Yehovah loves me, he will rescue me. Because I know his name, he will protect me. I will call on him and he will answer me. I will be with him and he will be with me in my trouble. He will extricate me and bring me honour. I will satisfy him with long life and he will show me my salvation. Amen. We can take hold of those psalms and we can live by them. We can take those words because they are promises that he has made to each and every one of us. We can rise up like an eagle above everything. It doesn't matter what we are going through. We are not a pesky crow scratching around on the ground. Yah wants us to rise up, to be above that. What did he do in the flood? He took the righteous up in an ark, and all that was left underneath was destroyed. What has he said for end times? The wheat and the tares will grow together, but the tares will be separated and burned, but the righteous will remain. You can read Proverbs and it will tell you that the righteous will always remain with Yehovah. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter what pain we suffer. Yehovah knows our pain. He will only give us as much as we can bear. But if we trust in him, if we hold firm to his word, we will rise up like the eagles and we will float the thermals that take us up, and we will be away from all of the enemy. The enemy has no hand in our lives. We have to say to the enemy, get behind me, Satan. You've been defeated and you've been disarmed, and you are a toothless animal walking around that can do no harm. Let us now go to the remembrance service.